Is Elon Musk the Trump of Tesla when it comes to Twitter? The corporate saga is playing out in headlines and on social media. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton and a Tesla expert try to get their arms around just what taking Tesla private could mean. And that starts now.
Hello and welcome back. And of course, thanks for listening. Tesla's founder, chairman, and CEO Elon Musk has a Twitter account, and he really loves using it. Tesla investors, though, not quite as thrilled. Musk tweeted his intention to take Tesla private recently, remove it from being publicly traded, and that, quote, funding secured, end quote. Well, maybe not. Tesla has been backfilling this story with facts that show maybe it was not so much secured as it was implied, maybe just even hinted at. There are supposed to be checks and balances on CEOs for stuff like this, as in the board of directors.
Tesla still has that kind of day one board feel to it, which is just a bunch of buddies of Elon, which I think is dangerous. I mean, at the end of the day, there's meant to be checks and balances to things like people saying things that are false.
And false things will get the SEC asking questions. Such proclamations can and did manipulate the price of the stock. And the SEC does not like that. It's called ramping, using rumor to increase a share price. Here's my chat with a Tesla expert and the founder of a multi-billion dollar investment fund about where Tesla might be headed during this corporate saga and as it plays out.
John Thaler, founder and CIO of JAT Capital Partners.
Mr. Thaler, thank you for your time and welcome to the show. We sought you out because you're a Tesla expert. Your analysis and your research goes far back in it. Obviously, Elon Musk and Tesla have been in the headlines of late. Let's land the plane there first. Why don't you tell us how we got to this point when it comes to Tesla, the rise of this company? It's a story stock and its charismatic leader, Elon Musk.
Great. Thanks, Jason. The backdrop on Tesla prior to 10 days ago with all of the tweets is you have a guy in Elon who is, quite frankly, a remarkable human being who accomplished a number of awe-inspiring things over the course of his career. And as a consequence of that, he's developed a certain degree of hubris that, frankly, is not uncommon amongst guys like that. Steve Jobs would be a notable comparison to Elon. He's founded a number of companies, Tesla included. In the case of Tesla, he has staffed the board with friends of his that are, in the most sympathetic characterization, are kind of loyal to Elon,
right,
and have given him a great deal of leeway to essentially do what he wants, which I think is, from an innovation standpoint, is quite important to give guys like Elon a lot of leeway. Over the course of the last year or two, that leeway has started to manifest itself in erratic behavior from Elon that, I think has been irritating to shareholders. But as long as the story's been intact, people have been tolerant of it. But that's kind of the backdrop that got us to 10 days ago. And 10 days ago, Elon has sent off a bunch of tweets that, based on some of the reporting that's occurred in the last week, those tweets seem to have been a misrepresentation of the facts. Would be, again, probably the most sympathetic interpretation of what has just occurred. One of the things that's a head-scratcher to me is it seems like the reaction to the initial tweets has not been to simply clarify it, but rather to attempt to backfill a set of facts to support the initial assertions, which, that's why the board exists, is to
right.
be a check and balance against them. I mean, I'm a little bit surprised that, look, at the core level, there's a question of, did Elon have funding secured for a deal, which was his initial assertion. The fact that the stock has traded for now 7 or 8 days and nobody knows whether there's funding secured is kind of a crazy situation. And frankly, the board has a duty to clarify that.
Right. He did specifically state funding secured on Twitter. It's my understanding that you can use Twitter for corporate announcements within certain very narrow possibilities. This is according to the SEC. So that's one point I'm glad that you made. The other one is that the board is going to put a 3-person independent panel together recusing Elon Musk and examining any formal plan. But there hasn't been a formal plan yet, to your point. So we had some conversations with the Saudi investment fund. Is not really enough to state funding secured, is it? And why aren't we seeing more of a pushback on this? I mean, not just from the board, but from the investors.
From the investors, I would say my own kind of informal survey of investors and, sell-side analysts who publish research on Tesla, if I ask those folks, do you think there's funding secured or do you think there is not funding secured, I think within the investment community, people think there is not funding secured, which, again, that's a serious problem, because you have sophisticated investors and research analysts who believe one thing that is in direct contradiction to something the CEO of the company has said. Frankly, the blog post that Elon put out 4 or 5 days after the initial tweet, which kind of outlined his conversations with the Saudis, would seem to be a contradiction to his initial tweet. Again, he said funding secured, and then his blog post suggested, well, I had a conversation with the Saudis where they expressed support for a take private transaction, and therefore I thought the funding was secured. Again, that's on face value, I'd say maybe that's the equivalent of just saying I was wrong the first time, but, you know, you could kind of read between the lines and get confused by it. Again, it's quite remarkable that the CEO of the company made an assertion that seems to be false, and nobody has come out to say, sorry, we were wrong.
At your first answer, you mentioned it's good to give innovators room to innovate, right? But those pesky shareholders and those pesky earnings calls have to be done. And that seems to be where Elon started to unravel a little bit publicly. And if he took it private, he would have, of course, way more leeway when it comes to innovation. Do you think that being the chairman and the CEO of this company and having the board not reacting the way most other boards would, I would argue, is that something that needs to be addressed as well? And I have a follow-up question.
The joint chairman and CEO role, I don't think, is necessarily the issue. Again, if you compare this to Steve Jobs, I mean, one of the things, you know, obviously great innovators who accomplished remarkable things. The primary difference between those two individuals, and Steve had an open disdain for investors as well. I mean, he had this attitude that guys like me are mere mortals, and, you know, why would he waste his time with those kinds of fools, which, you know, is perhaps deserved. But what Apple did to deal with that issue is they insulated him. Steve Jobs didn't interact with investors. If he spoke on earnings calls, it was only briefly, and he certainly wasn't taking questions from guys and getting involved in the back and forth. I don't quite understand why Tesla hasn't done that. I think there's an element of to Elon that maybe Steve didn't have, which is I think Elon likes the notoriety in the press and the public squabbles, I think, maybe are fun for him on some level. But, you know, the fact that short sellers are asking him irritating questions on call, there's an easy way to solve that. It's called don't participate in the call. Have someone else do the call. Now, at the board level, though, you know, look, Apple was, you know, obviously a company that had been around a lot longer than Tesla. And I think if you looked at the board of Apple from year two versus today, the notion of friends of the founder changed over time. Mm-hmm. Tesla still has that kind of day one board feel to it, which is just a bunch of buddies of Elon, which I think is dangerous. I mean, at the end of the day, there's meant to be checks and balances to things like people saying things that are false. I mean, that's an easy thing. You say Elon said something. What should have happened is the company should have filed an 8K that afternoon saying Elon misspoke. This is not true. In fact, look, the stock was halted the day that he did that. They shouldn't have opened the stock until the company had an opportunity to clarify it, which is bizarre. Again, they seem to have halted the stock to deal with the information and issue some kind of clarification, and then for whatever reason, opened it without clarifying it. And I frankly don't understand that.
We're speaking with John Thaler. He's the founder and portfolio manager at JAT Capital Management, and he's an expert on Tesla. Let's put some meat on the bone, John. This company is burning through cash, and that's why it's the most shorted company in America right now. Does any of the stuff that's happened over the last month or so have any bearing on the bottom line and top line?
Well, as it relates to the tweets, the only issue that you would have is, number one, is there going to be some financial consequence to from the SEC to what he's done? And I imagine there probably will, but that's small in the grand scheme of things. I think that if you were to get into a situation where Elon was being separated from the company, that is catastrophic to Tesla. I mean, at the end of the day, as you pointed out, Tesla's burning cash. It's in its infant stages. Elon is critical to the success of the company. So if the board concluded that Elon was no longer capable of serving in his current role, that's a gigantic problem. I don't think that's the base case at the moment, but I think, you know, certainly what's happened since the initial tweet, you know, really has kind of put that in play. So I think that's unfortunate. But to your point, the core of Tesla is, you know, they're in a space that's you know, really the future. So electric vehicles, mm-hmm. the penetration of EVs into the global auto market is still essentially zero. Tesla has an early lead. They're going to burn a significant amount of cash in the coming years. I mean, the two things that get lost in the shuffle, because, you know, the Q2 numbers from Tesla were quite good, but, you know, were they to get their production issues solved and start producing millions of cars per year, which is where the street is in 2020 or so, there are two things that need to be true. Number one, they need more production capacity. They're currently producing everything out of one facility in California, and that facility has a production capacity of a few hundred thousand cars a year. So they need more production facilities. And then also, they need more service centers. You know, right now in the United States, I think there's only 200,000 Teslas driving around. If you envision a scenario where there were 5 million Teslas driving all over the place, breaking down and having issues, you need, you know, many, many multiples of service centers than what you have today. Both of those things cost a significant amount of money. But the bear case on Tesla prior to 10 days ago is the fact that if you look at the production roadmaps of all of the other auto companies in 2019, you've got every high-end auto company introducing their own version of an electric vehicle. And you have to ask yourself, what's the, you know, certainly the penetration of EVs into the global auto market is going to grow significantly in the coming decade. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what is Tesla's market share? And at the moment, it's essentially 100%, and that's certainly going to go down. But, mm-hmm. you know, in the absence of driving the new BMW or General Motors vehicle, it's hard to handicap that. But that has been the bear case on Tesla in the trailing year.
Mm. All right, my last question for you, John, is I'd like you to help me understand. Taking a company private at this valuation at $420 a share would be $72 billion. But that's not really the price tag, is it? Because Elon Musk, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, and one other individual investor own 45% of the company. They'd only have to buy back X amount of percent in order to get a vote to pull it back private. Am I right on that, or am I missing something?
Well, look, there were two factual assertions made by Elon that have problems. One is the funding secured point, which we've now addressed. The second is this notion that existing shareholders will have the ability to roll into the private vehicle. That is very complicated. So you have ordinary investors who it may be illegal for them to own private shares. So, you know, if I wanted to buy shares in Uber, for example, I need to be what's called a qualified investor in the SEC's mind. And then you have mutual funds like T. Rowe, who, you know, own these things across a variety of funds. Many of them are precluded from owning shares in private vehicles. So I don't know that, you know, T. Rowe owns 9% of Tesla. I don't know that they're allowed to roll there. Certainly a significant portion of that 9% won't be allowed to roll into the private vehicle. It's also worth noting in the 13Fs that came out just recently, the two largest mutual fund shareholders actually sold significant portions of their stakes in Q2. So, you know, the question of did they were selling the stock at 325 when it was liquid and public. Do they want to own it at 420 when it's private? You know, that would seem to be the hurdle to overcome. But to your question, look, Elon has now said that he thinks 2/3 of the shareholder base will roll into the private vehicle. Right. Again, it's an example of him compounding the problem, because it would be completely impossible. It's an impossible exercise to understand what portion of the shareholder base would roll into a private vehicle when, number one, we don't know the structure. There's no proposal. You haven't had conversations with any of these people to understand whether they're even allowed to do that, even if they wanted to. It's a very bizarre series of events.
John, where, if you could tell me, where is your house when it comes to rating on Tesla shares?
I'm cautious on it. And, you know, look, the events of the last 10 days have made me more cautious, because I think you've introduced some probability. Again, I think it's not the base case, but you have now some probability that's non-zero, that Elon's not part of this thing 6 months from now. Mm. But I think the combination of the cash burn and the valuation with the competitive outlook over the next 12 months makes me bearish initially. And I think all of this stuff over the last 10 days is just bizarre and introducing a set of risk to the equation that is difficult for me to be involved with on the long side.
John Thaler, thank you so much for your time. This has been a pleasure. I hope we can have you back soon.
Happy to do it.
That was John Thaler. He is the founder and portfolio manager at JAT Capital Management, a multi-billion dollar global equity investment firm. For links to Mr. Thaler's work and firm, all of our sourcing really, please go to kgoradio.com and look for this week's show notes. And that's it for this week. You can socialize with us on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason, or at Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio, and online at KGORadio.com/Techonomics. And our podcast archive is on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, just about anywhere you pull down your podcasts. For producer Liana Wilcox, I'm the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks for listening, and have great weeks, everybody.